Seated. I'd like to read from God's Word tonight from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 18. This is basically the whole chapter. It's an interesting chapter. There's a lot in it, but I want to focus especially, there will be pieces in here, but especially on some of those ending types of words in this passage. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, where Paul writes to the Corinthian church and to us, "Are we beginning to commend ourselves again, or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everybody. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Such confidence as this is ours through Christ before God, not that we are content in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now, if the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters on stone, came with glory, so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory, fading though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? If this ministry that condemns men is glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. And if what was fading away came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which lasts? Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at it while the radiance was fading away. But their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." Sometime this summer, some of you may venture down to a little town on the west coast there of Michigan, on Lake Michigan, called Saugatuck. Maybe many of you have been there. I have been there numbers of times. I enjoy going there, partly because of just its quaintness. It's a very sort of what we might call artsy kind of town. When I read about this town somewhere in a magazine some time ago, the author was mentioning that Saugatuck has somewhere around only 1,000 people, actually. I'm sure the numbers around there are much greater, but the town itself is about 1,000. But it has no less than 36 art shops or particular types of events that relate to art. And so it has been named by at least one magazine as among the 25 top sort of go-to places in the United States when it comes to this sort of thing. So here it is right in our backyard. And I'm sure that a place like that doesn't get a name without sort of some advertisement out there. When we think about advertisement for a particular city, let's say like Saugatuck, that's one thing. But when we think about advertisement for something far more important than a city like that, when we think about advertising the Church of Jesus Christ, I wonder what comes to your mind. What is really the best kind of advertisement for the church. Now, when we think of West End Church, there are obviously various kinds of ways in which the church is engaging in advertisement. In a meeting the other night, we talked about some of those ways, but also there has been a team here that has been dealing with the whole area of the website. And obviously today in our culture, that is extremely important. When people are looking for a church today, one of the main places that they will go to, first of all, is undoubtedly your church's website. So you want it to be good and you want it to be sharp. And so we're very thankful for those people that are working on that. In Paul's day, as the church was being built in this place called Corinth, he talked about this kind of advertisement, this kind of recommendation, let's say, of the ministry that was going on in that particular place. And there were false teachers who were coming in to that particular church, and they were not representing the gospel very well at all. In such a context, it is very important for people in the midst of not only the church, but in particular the lives that they touch and in the city in which they live, be it Corinth or be it Grand Rapids, that the people who represent Jesus Christ reflect Jesus Christ well and are people that show themselves to be followers of him in a way that he is genuinely transforming their lives. I think that is a tremendously powerful, powerful advertisement in a positive way for any church when you have Christians whose lives are genuinely being transformed by the power of Christ. There is a man, maybe you are familiar or not familiar with him, Sheldon Van Auken. He wrote a book a number of years ago called A Severe Mercy. And the reason that he called it A Severe Mercy was because his wife went through a terrible struggle with cancer. And in the midst of that, this was a man who had considered himself to be an agnostic. He was very sharp. He was attracted by the sort of the artistic, beautiful elements of life. He was a poet. He was someone who was in the Oxford community in London, England, and he was rubbing shoulders with the likes of people like C.S. Lewis, who had come out of his own agnosticism, shall we say, atheism, and come to faith in Christ. And so Sheldon, enamored by the beauty of God in this world, was just seeing that for what it is, enjoying the beauty, but not making the connection really with God. But in the midst of his connection with this Christian community of intellectuals there at Oxford, he was drawn to them because these people, these men and women, were very sharp intellectually. Sheldon had always wondered whether someone who was a Christian could really have a deep intellect, who really knew how to think. These people certainly proved that that could be the case. And they were living such transformed lives by the power of Jesus Christ that he was intrigued. But it was especially his wife, first of all, that came to faith in Jesus Christ. And later on, through this very difficult valley that he went through with his wife's cancer and eventual death, the Lord drew him as well to bow his knee before the cross and to give his life to Jesus Christ. So it's a marvelous, marvelous book of this particular journey. But coming from where he came from, as someone outside the church, as an agnostic, he had something very interesting to say that always captured me. He said, the strongest argument, or you might say advertisement, the strongest argument for Christianity is Christians when they are drawing life from God. And he also said, the reverse is true. When they become exclusive, self-righteous, and complacent. That's coming from a man who came from the other side, the dark side, into the light. And as he thought about life, thought, the best advertisement for Christ, the best case to be made, is people like you and me, who are ourselves drawing life from, being transformed by the presence and the power and the person of Jesus Christ. Now, the Apostle Paul talks about that sort of thing here in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. He writes about the fact that, in his view, although these other false apostles, false teachers, let's say, came into the church at Corinth, and they always had letters of recommendation from others to recommend them to the church body, as these rather itinerant teachers would go around, Paul said, that's not the way it is with us. He said, you people whose lives have been transformed, whose lives are being transformed by Jesus Christ and the power of his Spirit, you are our letters of recommendation. What a fascinating thought. If your life was a letter of recommendation for following Jesus Christ, and someone was able to read, so to speak, that letter about your life, what would they read? Would it be this recommendation of a life being transformed in various ways as a follower of Christ? And would they be enamored with that to the point that they would become interested in following the same Savior who is ours? These were indeed people, when you read, of obviously, the books of 1 and 2 Corinthians, who were imperfect people. This was by no stretch a perfect church. There isn't such a thing. But the sins in this church were obvious and glaring, and Paul does not hesitate throughout his writings to them to talk about them. And yet, it is always fascinating that although they are very imperfect, as we are, they are nevertheless spiritually growing, gradually being transformed. They are what Paul calls in verse 3, a letter from Christ. They are people who are being, from the inside out, changed and transformed by the very powerful and tenacious work of the Holy Spirit of God. So that Paul could call himself, but also these people and also ourselves could call ourselves ministers now, so to speak, of something new, of a new covenant, a new relationship with God and Jesus Christ that is so full of promise, so full of life, that it begins to change us and it begins to change others as well when they begin to see it and understand it and the Holy Spirit gets a hold of them. At the end of the Gospel of John, John 20, verse 31, the Apostle John talks about the fact that all that he had written in the Gospel has been written so that these people might have life. The very life of God is what it's about. To be able to experience that in one's life. And that is tremendously exciting when you see that beginning to happen and continuing to happen in the life of anyone who is a follower of Jesus Christ. This is what gives hope to people. It is what so many are looking for. Paul refers here to the fact that that life in Jesus Christ in this chapter is the thing that actually gives the freedom from the old life and all that it holds us from, and gives us the new life and all that Christ has to offer in this process of true transformation from all the old patterns and the old habits and attitudes and character traits. Now, this is what the Bible calls sanctification. It is the work of the Holy Spirit in us. It is the process of the Holy Spirit transforming our lives, bringing life change, remodeling, if you will, in all of our lives, and He is at work doing that. That can be quite a process, you know. Quite a process. A number of years ago, there was in this town an organization called Tees for Him. It was headed out by a gentleman from Sunshine Christian Reformed Church, and he had this vision, in a sense, that for about a decade, he committed his life as a builder to just sort of marginally doing some work on the side to help pay for some of the needs in his life and the life of his family, but a lot of his energy went into helping ex-offenders when they came out of prison to begin to learn this trade of construction, because so many of them have struggled getting employment. They don't have the skills, and so that's what he sought to do. And I can remember going to one of those homes. They would buy up homes in Grand Rapids at the time, one by one, just as they had the money, and then they would redo them, remodel them. And I remember going into one of those homes, and it was absolutely stripped down to the studs. The roof was there, the walls were there, but when you walked inside that house, there was nothing except the studs. Everything needed to be transformed and changed and remodeled. Nothing was left untouched in that house. And so gradually they would begin, step by step by step, making the changes that needed to be changed. And he began teaching these men, usually they only had four in the house, teaching them the skills of what it meant to do plumbing and what it meant to do electrical work and what it meant to put up the drywall and what it meant to take down walls and put up walls and change this and change that. It was quite a process. And in the end, when you saw a house like that after it had been remodeled, it was a thing of beauty. It was amazing, the transformation that had taken place with their persistent work. When we come to faith in Jesus Christ, as you know, that is a work of God. And it is a work totally and solely of God. No one comes to a new birth in their life. No one is justified, in the words of Romans chapter 5, outside of the absolute and total and complete work of God, the Holy Spirit. We don't have anything to do with that, coming into the kingdom. But once we are in the kingdom, once we are following Jesus, that changes. Now God invites us in this process of sanctification into this work of transformation in our lives. And we are a part of that transforming work as well. What is the Holy Spirit in this transforming work seeking to do in your life and in mine? He's seeking to do one thing, and one thing only: to transform each and every one of us as followers of Jesus Christ into the image of Jesus Christ. Now think about that. That is the goal of our lives. That is the journey that we are on. That is what the Holy Spirit is seeking to do, to help each of us along that journey become more and more like Christ. I have met people over the years who have wondered whether God was really at work in their life at all. And I could see it. I knew them. I knew what they had been. And you could see some of the change over the years. But sometimes we ourselves can't see it so clearly. And so I would often ask them, just take a look at your life. Where were you at a year ago in a spiritual sense? Where were you at 5 years ago? 10 years ago? 20 years ago? Think about the fruit of the Spirit. What have you seen in your life? Have you seen more of the love that the Holy Spirit produces in our lives as we work with Him begin to show itself, this love for God and this love for other people? Have you been growing in that? How about joy? What's happening there? Have you seen your joy increasing? That's part of that transformation. Or peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Now, if the truth be told here tonight, every one of us would admit, you know what? I'm not perfect in any of these areas. None of these fruits are fully and completely developed in my life at this point. But I am willing to bet that in your life and in mine, if we take a look at the journey we've been on, the Holy Spirit has been doing a wonderfully transformative work within us. And you can see growth, evidences of that growth, if you just pause enough in the midst of the busyness of your life and think about the work, the wonderful work that God is doing within you. John Ortberg is a writer that I love to read once in a while. And in his wonderful book, The Life You've Always Wanted, he talks about this change that happens. He builds in part upon Paul's words that we read earlier from Romans 12. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that word transformed there is a word that reflects the word metamorphosis. It has to do with something like you might see in the springtime over at the Meyer, Hank and Lena Meyer Center, where all of these butterflies, they come in these little chrysalises, and they're all over the place, and then they begin to come out slowly. They are morphing, in John's words. And when they come out, they, you know, at least when they're in the chrysalis, they aren't exactly beautiful to look at. But the change that happens within them, and so that when they come out and begin to fly as butterflies, is truly astounding. The beauty is captivating when you see all of these butterflies flying around there in that wonderland, glassed wonderland over there. John writes in his book, when we come to Christ, it's like that. He says it's morphing time. It's time to change. It's time to be open to the transformative work of God. And so the question is, in our lives, since Paul writes here in this passage that we are being transformed, this is a process, into the likeness, into His likeness, Christ's likeness, with ever-increasing glory. This comes from the Lord who is the Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is very much about doing this sort of thing in your life and in mine. The problem often comes in our lives as Christians when we don't want that, when we don't want the changes that the Holy Spirit wants to make, the transformative changes that He is seeking to do within your life and in mine. And that's why we find in the Bible, the New Testament, different words about the possibility of grieving the Holy Spirit. Of quenching, Paul uses in another place, the Holy Spirit. of putting out the Spirit's fire in another place. When God is at work within us and the Holy Spirit wants so badly to help us in this transformative journey to become like Jesus, it's never a very good thing to say no to what God wants in our lives. But it's a wonderful thing to see how He makes these changes. In one of Phil Yancey's books, What's So Amazing About Grace, he talks about the fact of how God had been changing him. You see, Phil grew up in the South in a very fundamentalistic Christian church. And if you know anything about this kind of Christianity, and I use fundamentalistic in sort of a negative sense here. We believe in certain fundamental doctrines and so forth, but I'm talking about fundamentalistic. I'm talking about where, you know, the main thing is to basically toe the line, and rules and the regulations and the traditions are basically the gospel in your life. And woe be unto you if you don't follow them. Rather than the kind of freedom that Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Well, he grew up in that kind of a church down in the South where racism was okay and it was tolerated among Christians. Well, obviously there needed to be some significant changes. He grew up in an atmosphere, he said, that was very, very legalistic. Until grace got a hold of him. The grace of God that began a transformative change in his life. And finally, he wrote these words in that book that he discovered, although he had never been into drugs and never been into alcohol and these types of addictive things, he was experiencing, by the grace of God, his own recovery. He said, I'm a recovering legalist. A recovering legalist. That was the transformation by the grace of God that he was being given by the Holy Spirit. And it's a wonderful thing when a person who is a follower of Jesus Christ comes out of this legalism that can so easily get a hold of us and make us into such judgmental people about others. That when God's work through His Spirit takes a hold of us, we begin like that you know, come out of that cocoon, like that chrysalis, and begin to spread those beautiful wings and begin to fly on the air of grace. It's a wonderful thing to behold in the life of a person in whose life that is taking place. Well, Phil experienced that. And I know what Phil's talking about because that is part of my journey as well. That's why I resonated so deeply when I read that in his book. And when I read that line, I'm a recovering legalist. Did you ever have something jump off the page of a book and hit you between the eyes so hard you never forget it? That's what happened to me. I said, that's what God's doing in my life. I don't have these other addictions, thank God. But I needed recovery from something else that was every bit as bad. And I had to discover grace. That gives the freedom that Paul talks about here for that to happen. And I'm still on that journey, you know, along with all of you as well. And I guess that's why the Apostle Paul calls in various places of his writings, the gospel is a gospel of grace. The Holy Spirit is the one who wants us to be infused with a deepening sense of what that is. Because when we've got that, then we become like the Master that we followed, whom John described in John chapter 1 as being
the Word, who was full of grace and truth. As you become a person full of grace and truth and love and joy and peace, thank God that you can see in yourself and the lives of others in this church the wonderful transforming work of the Holy Spirit. I tell you, it's important to have many types of advertisements today, but that, when we have a church full of people like that, that will be the best advertisement for Jesus Christ in this entire community. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your work that is ongoing in our lives. You are doing a wonderfully transformative work in each of us. Help us, Lord, to stay open to all of your work within us through the power and the presence of your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that we are being transformed from one degree of glory, as it were, to another. And that one day, we will perfectly reflect Jesus Christ in all the ways that you desire to see within us. What a day that will be. But we thank you, Lord, for the journey that we're on, that by your grace we have discovered life, and by your grace that life continues to grow and blossom and produce beauty within us. May others see that in us. In Jesus' name, amen.